Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about Artwork Archive. I really wanted to have a podcast that really helps listeners who are in the art industry, working as artists, whether that's as a painter or photographer, whatever your medium is. I wanted to give some helpful information today. So, Artwork Archive has been on my radar for a while. I still haven't picked up the annual subscription yet because it is on the pricey end of it, but I've just been watching their social media channels and seeing how other artists interact with them, how they do with promotion, things like that. So I'm really considering subscribing. It is an annual subscription, like I said, and there's three tiers to it. But I wanted to get some other things out of the way as far as paying off other bills that I have for the studio. And then, you know, before I get into more subscriptions. So Artwork Archive, you can go to their website, artworkarchive.com. And I have this page up here. It says a better way to organize and manage your art career. As far as I can tell, they are basically giving you a space to have all of your artwork together as far as inventory. So I'll just read it here verbatim. Artwork Archive is an art inventory platform that artists use to track their artwork, showcase their portfolio, and grow their business. Let's see, the next thing we've got, stay organized, on track, and productive. Our simple yet powerful tools help you organize your art so you can manage, document, share, and safeguard your inventory. Next, we've got the central hub for your art business. Artwork Archive is the control center for your art career. Manage your inventory, track your sales and contacts, showcase your artwork online, in store, and share high-resolution images. Cut down on data entry and run your art business efficiently, which is something that I really do want to do because right now I'm keeping track of my inventory on Microsoft Excel. And it's a little, it can be cumbersome. And so I wanted to streamline the process. And I would also like to have like thumbnails, just small thumbnails a part of the spreadsheet as well. But, you know, all those things are just, it's just time consuming. And I want to sort of scroll through the entire spreadsheet faster. So I left the thumbnails out at this point. But I'm also, I used them, I would say a couple of weeks ago, because on Artwork Archive's Instagram page, they post opportunities for artists to enter competitions. And whenever deadlines are coming up, they'll, you know, send out another post on their social media channels, letting us know that the you know certain deadlines are approaching. So I would say a couple of weeks ago I entered one competition right before the deadline, and the curators for that competition actually liked my work. Actually quoting them, they love my work, but I entered so late that I believe it hurt my chances for getting a better reward, but they did give me an honorable mention award for Rise to the Top, and I should be able to put a thumbnail of that art piece on this particular podcast for the thumbnail. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy with their activity, because before you sign up and, you know, spend your hard-earned money on certain things, you just have to do your research. And so in the art industry, there's a lot of scams going on. You have people trying to, you know, send you fake checks to buy your work. You have, as far as galleries, you know, coming out of the woodworks, and they're just saying that, hey, you can show your work here and we'll give you a bunch of exposure, and this will be a great opportunity for you to just have your career explode. And you spend hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars into these opportunities and nothing comes of it. So you just wasted, you know, money. So I've done it before, and I don't want to get into doing that again. So I think the first thing that I would say is don't be too anxious about joining a certain platform or organization or gallery. Just don't be anxious, right? Because a lot of times as artists, it's hard for us to get the exposure that we believe we should have. And so when certain too good to be true opportunities come up, we just jump, you know, at it without really doing our homework first and looking at, it can be from checking their company name on the Better Business Bureau, or checking with your network of artists to see if anyone's heard of them. Check out their social media outlets to see if they're active. Check their comments section on their social media channels to see how other artists are responding to them. And just look for the positive, the negative, the pros and cons of the organization or the gallery. And, you know, use your own, you know, best judgment to see if you want to invest into that gallery or organization to help your career move forward. And so, like I said, Artwork Archive, I feel like surprisingly good about them. And it took me a while to really share them on the podcast because I really want to be careful about who I recommend, even if it's just a suggestion. But I would say just look at just look into them. Now I most of the time I follow them on Instagram. That's where I am the most. They do not have like a Tumblr or Pinterest or anything like that. They've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Their LinkedIn page is just a business page. Let's see. And I'm not on LinkedIn very much, even though I do have a studio page on LinkedIn. Okay, so they have a post section. Yeah, so even on there, on LinkedIn, they're pretty active. Now, their audience on LinkedIn isn't as big as far as like the interactions with the post, but they are here on LinkedIn. And that's another thing that I was thinking of is like, I have about 8 or 9 different social media outlets. I definitely want to trim them down because I get tired of posting. I post quite a bit on Instagram. So it's like, trying to also post on the other social media outlets at the same time, or usually within the same hour. It's just time consuming for me. So yeah, I definitely want to try to streamline that as best as I possibly can. But yes, I would say again, just look into Artwork Archive and see if you like them. Now, let me see if I can point out anything else here. Let's see, professional tools and reports available everywhere. Access your art from anywhere on any device. Securely manage your art and business wherever you are. We help you share accurate and accessible information with clients and galleries in a clean and beautiful manner. Start my free trial. Now, the free trial is 14 days. And then after that, there, for artists, there are three tiers. So for The Apprentice, that's tier one, is for emerging artists looking to start their business with a solid foundation of tools. It's $8 a month, paid annually, and again, the free trial is for 14 days. Tier two is professional, for artists running a small business and showing work in galleries and retail spaces. It's $16 a month, paid annually. Now I should jump in and say that for The Apprentice, tier one, you are able to post 100 pieces. And then it says 10 locations track where your artwork is showing. And this is for a single user. So for me, I'm a single user as far as like I don't have a team in the studio. So for, of course, for creating, but for marketing, whatever promotion that I'm doing, taking care of like the human resource side of it, doing my taxes, all that type of thing. Like I do everything. So, I'm definitely under the single user tier. But, again, $8 a month, paid annually, you get up to 100 pieces to show on the archive platform. You're tracking where your work is also, and for photographers like myself who sell limited edition prints, this also helps you keep track of where each print edition, you know, who they were sold to. So you know where everything, where all your work is, where your work is. And also how many prints you have left in a certain edition. So it just helps you keep track of the numbers of inventory. Going back to tier two professional, now it's $16 a month, which is double the apprentice tier. Again, paid annually, you get 500 pieces opposed to 100 pieces you get to post on their platform. You can track your work in 50 different locations. This is still for single users. So if you have a team again, you won't be able to have anyone else on your team access your account unless you just share it. Let's see. Now, there's a lot of added benefits under the professional tier. Income and expense tracking. You have private rooms, share a private online collection custom tailored to your intended audience. You'll have integrations in embed, WordPress, Squarespace, and web embed for your public piece data. I'm thinking, will you, like, if you have a WordPress or a Squarespace website, I'm thinking that you would be able to pull your inventory onto Artwork Archive when you're adding your work to the platform. So instead of uploading, you know, 200, 300 pieces onto their platform, you'll just link it to your main website and it'll pull your inventory over for you, which is pretty good. Next we have payment processing, PayPal integration for invoice payments. Okay, so that's good. QR codes, generate reports with QR code links to each, let's see, to each piece's internal or public pages. Oh, okay, so every artwork can have a QR code. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this now that if you've been visiting galleries lately, but instead of like a drawn out title with the description, pricing, medium, that type of thing. You'll probably have the title, the year, and a QR code. And so, of course, you scan the QR code and then you go right to the artist's website with all the information for that particular piece. And so, having that a part of this platform is also really good, because what I have been doing myself when trying out QR codes is you have to purchase them individually and link them to something. And there is a lot of places that you can go to generate custom QR codes, but it can be pricey. So having this QR codes included under the professional umbrella, I think that's beneficial. The last thing under professional, they have document storage. Upload files to your entire collection, or for particular pieces, contacts, locations, exhibitions, sales, and more. Yeah, so this is all your paperwork stuff. It can be invoices, it can be model releases, location releases, that type of thing, everything from the business side. Catalogs, which I have to update my catalogs so I can give those out again. Promo material, just whatever's in the files of your business, just the document files, you can also store that here as a backup. I would suggest you have all your files in three different locations. For me right now, I don't have any cloud storage anymore. And I believe I've gone into the story before why I don't have cloud storage. But right now I've got an external. You can have two externals, and I would suggest like a solid state external hard drive. You can also store it directly to your computer or, you know, your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, if your tablet can hold this space. And the third place you can have is you can either have two externals in your computer. You can have an external, your computer, and cloud storage. Or you can also have it on this platform. If you decide to join Artwork Archive, you can have your storage here as well. But in my experience, I've been doing, I started this journey of photography in 2008, and I have lost a lot of files probably twice since then. In my main external hard drive, I would say crashed about 4 years ago. And so, and I had like a really big, beefy, lacy, 4 terabyte hard drive with all the extra bells and whistles on it. And so, but it wasn't a solid state drive. And so now I'm thinking that I would probably go 2 solid state drives and, probably my laptop would be the other place. And then if I join Artwork Archive, then that would be the fourth place that I would have my work. But at least 3 places I would suggest to have your work is your main, my main access point is my laptop. So, and then everything for backup is on the externals. So that's the way that I do it. All right, so that's tier 2. And again, tier 2, it's the professional tier. Again, it's 500 pieces. And my collection right now is a little less than 200 pieces. And I have to go back to my Excel spreadsheet to verify that, but around 200 pieces right now. And then what happens is that at the end of each year, the beginning of the next year, I go through the collection and say, okay, this is, you know, pick out the ones that are the pieces that are outdated, and then they drop out, and then I replace them with new work, right? So it just keeps the collection in its entirety, keep it fresh. And you'll be surprised, like some of your best, like your favorite pieces, it's like, you know what, this is getting old. This is getting old. So Yeah, I mean, for me right now, like everything from 2016 and backwards to 2008, it just depends on what it is, you know. I would say 2017 going forward, it's pretty much where I would like it to be. But I noticed, as I was looking over the collection last night, is that 2019 is just, as far as my improvement as an artist, 2019 was just like a really good start to that year. And then my work has just, you know, really been improving from there. And yeah, so again, you just have to work on your craft and continue to work in your medium. And then as time goes by, as the years go by, you just naturally improve. Now, the last tier, the third tier on Artwork Archive is Master. It's $24 a month, again, paid annually. And it's for mid-career and established artists in need of unlimited data and multi-users. Now, this particular tier, you can have three users on one account. And again, it's unlimited pieces. You have unlimited locations as far as where your work is showing, so you can keep track of where your work is, when the work needs to be shipped out, the exhibition dates, when the work is due as far as you getting it back, if it doesn't sell at the show. And then sometimes there's like a delay where you get the work back, but then you also have sellers who are still interested, so you have to kind of put that work on hold. It's just keeping track of everything. But again, the master tier, $24 a month, paid annually, is unlimited pieces. So for those of you who have been, who just have a lot of work, or you've been in this for over 20 years or something like that, this will probably be really good for you. It has all of the same benefits as a professional tier, but they add on free data import where you can import a CSV or a Microsoft Excel file. So they would basically take my Excel file and just import it into onto their platform. So it's definitely faster. But if you have unlimited pieces, I mean, like not unlimited pieces, but if you have over 500 pieces, or at least if you just want to keep track of what you've created throughout your career, then yeah, that would be really helpful. Yeah, that would be really helpful. Now, let me see, because there was something else. Okay, so I basically come at this and told you guys about Artwork Archive from the perspective of the artist. But if you're a collector, an art collector, or an art organization, you can also join Artwork Archive. And then I believe the prices are going to be different for those. So, right. So for me, I'm basically just focusing on how much it would cost me per year to subscribe to this platform, user platform. And then let's see, it says trusted by professional artists around the world. Lori Putman looks like she's a painter and has a lot of work, because she's got a they have a photograph of her in her studio, a lot of storage space for flat files. Very nice. She says, after 12 years of keeping my database another way, I finally made the switch to Artwork Archive. I love it. Every piece and all of its information is easily accessible from from anywhere. So yeah, I mean, just looking at her studio, wow. Fireplace and everything. Like, okay. I didn't, you know what? 'Cause I'm thinking about I would like my studio to expand. I wasn't thinking about having a fireplace in there. But yeah, so that's the end of this particular page. Again, they are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIn. And then it says made in Denver, Colorado. So I guess that's where they're based. They also have a blog. They have a free guide that they just posted about that. It gives artists a list of all the artists' art opportunities for 2023, which is great. So I believe there's a way for us to download that. Again, it's for free. And if you join their platform, they just created a way for you to get notifications. Like put it on, if you find something that you're interested in that you want to enter, you can add it to your own calendar on their platform. And then when the deadline is, you know, getting near, then they'll give you, you know, a notification of some kind to say, hey, if you haven't entered into this yet, you've got about a week left to send in your submission. So I was looking for art opportunities to to submit my work. And so that's how I came across them. And I think that was last year. Yeah, that was around the fall last year when I came across them. They also have a tab at the top of their page here that says resources. In a drop down, it says video tutorials, help docs. It's got guides, webinars, the art blog, calls for entry. Oh, and here it is, the 2023 opportunity guide. Yeah, so it has, you have grants, and there's like different categories. Okay, so there's five categories: grants and awards, residencies, exhibitions, competitions, open calls, and then there's a little checkbox that you can click that says free to apply. So whichever one of these are free to apply, they'll be left in the drop down. They'll be left on the list. And so just depending on what you're looking for. And then there's also a search. Yeah, you can search for, I guess for me, like I would search for anything that has to do with photography, right? That's photography specific, because some competitions are picky about what mediums are entered. And then some competitions are open to all mediums of artwork. So you just have to make sure that you read through the descriptions, the eligibility info, of course, the deadline, what the entry fee is. Look through also the award info, and also look at, like, this one is for, let's see, NYFA Artists Fellowship. Like, go to that website, whoever's hosting this art opportunity, right? Go to their website, go to their social media channels, see how much attention that they're generating for the artists that they already represent, or for those who've won in the past. You know, so just, again, do your homework on everything so that you can spend your budget wisely in terms of, okay, here's 10 opportunities I want to take advantage of, but what's the top three, right? So out of 10, I would pick my top three in terms of social media presence, who's got the most as far as followers, or they're generating a lot of attention, who's generating the most attention on their social media channels, on their website, their blog, in the press, like newspapers, art magazines, all that type of stuff. So if you win, or if you get like in, you know, the top place in the top three, or you get an honorable mention, you know, it's going to be better if they have a really good established network for that particular competition. So you get noticed by their audience as well. So I would pick a large, well-established audience. You can also research the curators, those who are the judges, right? Look at their work, look at their style. So you'll know what, as far as their taste in work. Because if also you can, that also would have probably helped even more is look at past winners, look at their work. Does your style of work fit with them? And it can be the same medium, but if your styles are just incredibly different, I think it lowers your chances of placing high or winning or getting an honorable mention in the competition. So yeah, I mean that's basically my advice as far as entering. The other thing that I did before I started entering competitions this year is the end of last year, or I should say last month. during the holidays, I updated my biography photo. And again, I try to do that every year because, again, along with my artwork improving, my bio photo has also improved as I look back over the years, right? Because I'm always getting better. So, as a photographer, so just every year, you know, especially going into January, the first quarter of the month, first impressions are everything. And curators, judges, they'll also go to your website, right? And they'll look at your work. And that'll also help them decide, like, do we want to give this artist, you know, more exposure? So from your official website to your social media channels to making sure that all your links work on your website and social media channels, it's like make sure that everything is just laid out as well as it possibly can be. Because again, if they're impressed by that, then that will move you closer to the top of the list, right? In terms of, okay, we're going to put this artist in this pile because they look like this, they take their career seriously, right? Like their artwork or what they're doing is not just a hobby or something like a side hustle. This is what they do every day. So for me, even though I have a day job, right? I use my day job to fund the studio and entering fees, test prints, marketing, just all that type of stuff, right? So, and also, you can also look at the rewards that you would get from each competition. And, you know, that also goes into consideration. As far as if your budget is limited, then pick the best three out of all the opportunities you find and say, okay, I'm going to at least go into these three first. And then if you have a little bit more room in your budget, you can just make a top, again, a top 10 list and say, okay, this will be four, five, six, and so on. And as your budget increases or you sell work, then that brings in more income and you can enter into more competitions, right? And also I would say put more into savings. You know, always have a percentage that you put into savings. That's very, very, very important. And I will say, like, full disclosure for this year, I am looking at last year and what I invested in, right, as far as progress for the studio, I'm looking at what worked and what didn't work. And so the things that I subscribe to, I'm starting to cut those things out that didn't work. And says, okay, I'm not going to renew my subscription for this, because, you know, nothing or very little came from it. So I can't justify investing in it again in 2023 because in 2022 or even 2021, it just didn't get any traction. And so those go by the wayside and you look for new opportunities. But it's all about being efficient. Again, especially if you're on a tight budget, right? And we don't want to waste income regardless. We don't want to waste our resources regardless, but again, just be as efficient as possible and always stay focused on your goal. What is your goal? So if your goal is to enter competitions, take that percentage of your budget and say, competitions, that's it, right? Now for marketing, it's in a different category, right? And you have to put a percentage of your budget aside for that. But everything has to stay in its lane, right? As far as how you're distributing your resources. Because if you have this space here for competitions and all of a sudden you see this opportunity to market and you decide to throw your money at a publication to market over there, it's like, when competitions come along, then what do? Right? So you really have to decide for yourself, like, how much money do you want to allocate for certain things? So yeah, that's just making sure that you stay focused on what you want to do. For me this year, I've decided less money is going to go into promotion on social media because it hasn't gotten me the results that I was looking for. And I'm going to allocate more resources over into competitions because I found that you meet people, like actual people, who are in the industry, who are serious about the industry. They're at a point in their career where you're trying to get to, if you're not there already. And so it's good to talk to them, get advice from them, and just put yourself on their radar so that when they come across an opportunity that may not be on their website or promoted or, they'll think of you, they'll contact you, and they'll say, hey, we've got this opportunity here that I think your work would be a good fit for, right? So that's that's really what I'm doing, right? If you're following me on Instagram, it's at Eric C. Jackson Studio. I have a lot of reels up now that of reels of places where I'm going as far as showrooms. There's a lot of interior design, interior decorating, a lot of furniture stores, a lot of furniture from the stores I've been in. I do have a few places on my list that I want to go, but they are only open Monday through Friday during my work hours from my day job. So I'm going to have to start taking some time off my day job so that I can actually go to these places and get a feel for the type of artwork that they're looking for, right? Because this year I want to be more intentional about the type of work that I create so that when I create something, I'll say, okay, this one's finished and it'll be good for this particular company or showroom, right? And so I can send it to them to put myself on their radar so that when they're working with a client and they have a room that they need artwork for, they'll know that they can contact me, right? So I have to have the type of artwork that they're looking for. Now, of course, I have to be very careful. We have to be very careful of not trying to create art that we think people want to see. But at the same time, we can't create artwork that's so far away from something that they would choose that they won't think about contacting us for work. So you have to find that balance. And I'll say, like, in the past, I really didn't think about where my work would be seen, or where would it be, where would it fit? Like, what's the best fit for my work? I didn't really think about that. I just thought about, hey, this is something I want to photograph. Let me go ahead and do that. And then after the work was done, I start looking around and saying, well, does it fit here? Does it fit here? Does it fit here? And I started running into those instances where the curator or whoever is in charge of art buying email me or call me back and say, I like your work, but it doesn't fit with us here, right? So over the years, I've sort of integrated my own style into, well, along with the type of work that showrooms are looking for. And this year, I want to take another step in that direction so that when I send out marketing materials, whether it's the wide postcards that I have, or I'm sending out newsletters, or if I decide to like promote a post or something like that, it'll be the type of work that they're looking for, at least more so than it has been before. So, man, I've got some ideas. It's gonna be a tricky balance, but I'm gonna see what I come up with. And I've got two projects that I'm finally like finally trying to finish. It's the photography I took at Jacksonville Zoo. The koi fish from that trip is actually the yellow koi fish. That's the one I got the honorable mention in this last competition. And then there was one, oh, Clarity. I finally added that to the website. And I don't, there's four pieces right now in the series. I don't know if I'm going to add anything else to it, but I have to look through a whole lot because I took a lot of photographs. And so, if the photos that catch my attention, I tag them. And then I do another, that's on the first run through as far as looking at everything. I just tag the ones that jump out at me. But it takes me a while. And when I say a while, I mean it can be several weeks. It takes me a while to get through the editing because certain photographs, they edit really, really differently. And I try to keep the style on a series basically the same. And gosh, especially that Clarity series, like some of the photographs, the lighting is just completely like different. Just I can't put color cast on it. I'm gonna have to approach them differently. So I don't want to have pieces in a series that are dramatically different, but I might. This will be a first. I might have to go in that direction because again, you can't force an artwork to be what you want it to be. Whatever, like the artwork is pretty much going to dictate what it's going to be, right? So what I'm editing, that's what I'm trying to find out. Like, what is the, is it going to be color or black and white, which is simply which is like the first thing, right? Color or black and white. And then if it's like a somewhere in between, maybe a sepia tone, maybe you bring the vibrance down to take out most of the color, but not all of it. I've done that sometimes. There's a bunch of different approaches before you get into dodging and burning and if you're gonna crop it and all these other types of things, right? But again, the goal is going to be, okay, I'm going to have this piece or this series, and I'm going to show it to this design agency or that showroom or that interior designer, you know. And so have a better plan as far as where the work can fit before I start photographing more projects. So let me look right back over the site because time is dwindling down here. And yeah, but again, you can go to artworkarchive.com. There's a lot of information on here. There's a lot of information. Now, I will say with public art, for me, it can be really tricky because I have photography, and a lot of public art is sculpture that I've been finding. There can be some wall art incorporated, but it's a lot of sculpture. It's a lot of sculpture. I've got some emails about NFTs, the what was it, fungible tokens. I really don't want to get into NFTs, simply because I like seeing my work hanging on the wall. I just do. My work tends to sell better when people see it physically hanging up on the wall, right? Like some people can sell a lot easier with on their social media channels, stuff like that. For me, it's got to be galleries or art fairs. I mean, I don't know, that's just been the way it's been. So I use everything online as an introduction, but in terms of sales, the sales basically initiated in a brick and mortar physical venue setting, and then I've done better with that. All right, so I think that's it. Then there's another tab up here with Discovery where they have Chad Reynolds, who's the featured artist from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He has 312 pieces on view. Wow. Wow. They have another section with portfolios. Okay. And then it has, let's see, showcase your work, get started with your own public profile, free 30-day trial. Okay, so this says 30-day trial. Okay, so the public profile on Artwork Archive, I think that they have a network of collectors, of clients that actually visit their site and they can find your work that way as well. So that's like an added bonus. Yeah, there's 152 pages. As far as artists with their who have their portfolios here. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and of course, my business taxes, I'm almost finished with putting all that together, and I just got to go run back through it one more time to make sure that I get all of my receipts, and everything. Well, okay, now I didn't expect to go through this, but like the business taxes, I'll just quickly say I use Found, to keep like my profit and loss statement, income, expenses, all that type of stuff. And with that, you pay your taxes quarterly. But of course, when I file my personal taxes with the IRS, I also have the business in there with my expenses. And so yeah, I'm almost finished with that. So I'm going to take the rest of the month and just make sure that all that stuff is done. And again, like I said earlier, almost done with the accounts that I want to close, as far as like the stuff that wasn't effective the last year or two, like not renewing those subscriptions at all. So again, it's like making space for, because I think Artwork Archive for me is going to be about $200 a year. And yeah, it's probably going to be like $200 a year. And so I want to make sure that I'm not spending anything that's just not working. I'm gonna do the math really quick here. Wait, I'm just gonna bring up the calculator. So if I go with the professional tier, it's gonna be $192 per year. And that's gonna, I'll be able to post up to 500 pieces on in the portfolio, and then all the tracking, the private rooms, the integrations, payment processing, QR codes, document storage, all that. So it's going to be 192 a year for the professional level, and that's $16 a month. Now for the apprentice per year, let's see, 8 times 12, that's going to be $96. So you don't get the list of other benefits. You would get 100 pieces to post on their platform. You would get to track 10 locations of where your artwork is, and it's a single user, and that's where it ends. So that's $96 a year. If you're going to go for the highest tier at Master, is $24 a month. Again, 12 months, that's $288 per year. So everything's paid up front annually. There is a 14-day free trial, but as you guys know, the 14 days goes by pretty fast. And so it does give you an idea of the user interface, because Lord have mercy, like some platforms have awesome benefits and their user interface on the platform is horrible. So you can use the 14 days to test out the user interface. Can you follow every, like, is it a pain to upload your work? Do you have to fill in too much information? Can you find all the buttons? That type of thing. Like, how easy is it for you to use their platform? You can get to know all that type of stuff in 2 weeks. And I'm assuming that if you just pay the $96 for the apprentice level, if you really love the platform and you want the other benefits like the income expense tracking, etc., I'm guessing you should be able to just upgrade to professional or master if you want to, right? And again, the only benefit with master over professional is you get 2 extra users for the account and the free data. I don't know if it's data or data. It switches depending on my mood, I guess, but it's free data, import, upload a CSV or your Excel file of your artwork, list of your artwork. So yeah, that's all I have. According to Anchor, I have up to 60 minutes of time. And it goes by a lot faster than I think. So thank you guys for tuning in. I hope that this was very helpful. I will put a link to Artwork Archive's website in the description so that you guys can just click it on there and see for yourself, like just browse around and look at what they have. Next week, I don't know what I'm gonna post for next week, but even if you don't join, again, you'll still have access to the artist opportunities for this entire year, for free. So just go ahead and download it, print it out, use your Outlook or Google Calendar or whatever calendar that you use. And again, just check all those opportunities, and if your budget is tight, pick your favorite, your best three. Really, for me, I guess I would go quarter by quarter. First quarter, what, in the first 3 months. And in the second quarter, you can pick your top three. Third quarter, pick your top three. And of course, the final fourth quarter, you pick your top three, or competitions to enter into, so that at minimum, you've got 12 competitions that you've entered throughout the year. And then if your budget allows, of course, enter more than that. But for me, I'm definitely trying to enter some new stuff. So I got to create, get everything ready, and that's it. I'm really bummed out because I switched printers towards the fall of last year, and I just found out yesterday that the new printer, they do not offer proofs for the print. Like, they'll give you print samples of just an image that they have on their, on file for them, but they don't have proofs for my work. Like, if I want to order a proof, usually you'll have a discounted price for that because you're not going to sell the proof, right? You just want to see how it prints on a certain paper type. But the only thing that they have is I would just have to order a small print, which the smallest I can order is like a 10 by 15, and it's pricey still. So I'm gonna see if I can find a workaround. My old printer, they do sell proofs at a discounted price. And I emailed them, what, 2 weeks ago, they told me that. And they sent me a code that I can enter in so that I can get the discount. They do have the Fujiflex paper, right? But they don't have the acrylic print in that paper. So, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's crazy. So, whether it's the print alone or the acrylic print, I want the same paper type, which the old printer doesn't, the old photo lab doesn't have. The new photo lab does have, but the new photo lab doesn't have the proofs. So I'm gonna try to match the prints up to see if I can get my proofs from the old lab. And then if it comes out okay, I don't have to order so much from the new lab. Yeah, so I have some prints from the new lab. I'm going to order the same prints from the old lab to compare them with what I've got from to the new one, and I don't know if they're going to match, or even if they're going to be close. I'm not sure. They should be, but I'm gonna make sure. And again, if you guys have any questions, or have any subjects that you want me to go over in future podcasts. And again, I'm going to try my best. This is season three, to post one podcast per week. And I do want to get a schedule as far as a set day and time of when the podcast is going to go live, so that you guys know when to come back to the channel. So I definitely want to hammer that out. This weekend, to make sure that next week I can give you guys that information. And from next week on, have the podcast at a specific time, and everything going forward in season three is going to be at that day and time. So it's more organized than for all of us. So again, thank you for listening, and take care. God bless.